many years ago when I was in college, I got seriously into knitting. I'd sit in seminars about 19th century women's literature or Southern African liberation struggles and perfect my cable stitch. Long meetings about shutting down nuclear power plants became prime knitting opportunities. That was the only crafty thing I was ever any good at, but it sure made political work more fun. We might not be able to make revolution, but at least I can make some nice sweaters. Bonnie Burton's new book, Crafting with Feminism, takes that philosophy a step further. Crafts, she says, are a secret weapon to smash patriarchy. She writes, unfortunately, women all over the world struggle for equality. So what do? When society tries to keep us down, we write, create art, sew clothes, start bands, we paint signs and protest. We express our frustrations and outrage by displaying them for the world to see. In short, we make things happen by making things. Bonnie Burton is a Bay Area author, journalist, comedian, and actor. She's the former senior editor and social media strategist at StarWars.com for Lucasfilm. She's best known for arts and crafts books like the Star Wars Craft Book, and she produces and hosts a YouTube show called Geek DIY. Her 2009 book, Girls Against Girls, Why We Are Mean to Each Other and How We Can Change, discusses the issues of bullying and abuse between girls. Bonnie, welcome to Women's Magazine. So great to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor. I really, I'm excited.
So how'd you get into crafting? Let's start with that.
I started crafting when I was really, really young. It was before I started writing. This is probably going to date me a bit, but I was a child of the 70s. So my mom was really into having a bunch of like Sears catalogs and like seed, like Burpee seed catalogs and things like that. And when she was done with them, I would cut them up and do collage art. Like I would just glue it to paper and create scenes that I thought were cool. And then, of course, I discovered the power of glitter. And then when I discovered what googly eyes were, it just went from there. So, you know, I was a farm kid, like I was a rural kid. So we didn't have like a ton of toys or it's pre-video games, really. Like, we didn't have Pong. So most of the time, I just entertained myself by drawing and doing crafts and eventually writing. Obviously, that became a big thing. I don't remember necessarily going to Sunday school. I don't remember the lessons that were probably of value from the Bible. But I remember making a really cool, like, paper mache Jesus with glitter hair, which probably, to be honest, was more of a BG. Remember the Bee Gees than Jesus. But still, I hoarded the glitter to the point where one of the Sunday school teachers had to like teach me how to share. Glitter's for everyone. And that was probably the most valuable lesson I ever learned in Sunday school. But I was also a kid that joined 4-H, which for your listeners who don't know what that is, it's kind of like Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts combined, but with farming kind of skills. So it's a lot of like learning how to breed animals, learning agricultural stuff. But for the most part, I wasn't doing any of that. I was doing the sewing and the cooking and entering crafts and food and type of like whole, like kind of like hippy dippy kind of weird crafts, lots of macrame crafts, you know, and biscuits. I know I won a blue ribbon for biscuits and for making a bead doll. And then I also learned the pain and struggle of quilting, which involves a lot of math. I think creating as a kid's important, not just consuming. And luckily I had parents that were very much into just, you know, let her do whatever she wants in the craft room. They actually made a room that was just for my brother and I. My brother was such an outdoorsy kid that he was always outdoors and I was always indoors. So I took over the craft room and just made whatever I wanted. And I had a blast, so I think it's important as an adult to keep doing the fun stuff you did as a kid, and crafting for me kind of fits that mold.
You know, definitely like over the weekend I was making a banner.
Cool.
Which is kind of crafty.
Yeah, totally.
And again, I'm like really terrible at it. I mean, I just have no have no arts and crafts skills, and I'm constantly like visualizing the really cool banners that other people make and then falling way short. But nonetheless, you know, it was really fun.
Yeah.
Many hours of, you know,
I think my protest signs, because I used to protest a lot in junior high and high school. I don't even remember half the time what I was protesting about. I grew up in Fort Collins, Colorado, Kansas and Colorado. It's where I grew up. And I fell in with a bunch of like high school hippies. I was goth. I was the only goth kid. So it's like you just fall in with the skater kids and the punk rockers or whoever will take you at that point. And we were always protesting, like, you know, the fish sandwiches at McDonald's, I think, weren't dolphin safe, or there was some, I don't remember. And Rocky Flats was right by Boulder. It was, you know, a pretty famous toxic waste nuclear power plant type thing.
Nuclear
weapons.
Yeah, nuclear weapons development side.
Yeah. And I was always super feminist from very early on. I mean, I was so upset when my, you know, fifth grade and fourth grade textbooks didn't have all the women scientists and women history makers. And it's funny, when I watch Drunk History on Comedy Central, and I don't know if you're familiar with that show, but you can find episodes, I think, on Hulu or Netflix or YouTube, wherever you consume TV. They do a lot of feminist history. And I know it sounds funny to say drunk history, but these people are actually very passionate about history. They're just intoxicated while they're retelling the stories. And I learned a lot of feminist history, mostly from college, thank God for women's studies, but also just in high school, just because my mom was a librarian. I spent a lot of time in libraries, so I read as much as I could about my favorite, you know, feminists and things like that. But I think the first time I was like a mini Gloria Steinem was in third grade, and we had kind of, or maybe it was fifth grade, and we had this kind of like school newsletter, and there was a boy that was the editor, and he didn't think girls should write. And the teachers weren't really, you know, standing up for us girls. So I'm like, fine, I'll make my own newsletter. And I had a typewriter at home, and my mom was a librarian. So because of that, she had access to the Xerox machine. And so before that, it was like mimeograph. I think I actually handwrote things on a mimeograph, which is like that purple. But I had all the girls in our class write poems and draw pictures. I guess it was a proto zine, and we published it, and I passed it out. And it was so funny. My teacher at the time, who was a guy, was so impressed that he gave money towards it to like properly make it. So it was a competing newsletter. So it's like, even in fifth grade, I had kind of that vibe of, hey, why can't girls do this too? And I've been raised like that. Like I did just the same amount of sports my brother did. My dad never said, you know, this is for girls, this is for boys. And my brother also did things that were maybe construed as girly, like in the Midwest in the 70s. He was the only guy in our ballet class, which he loved because all the girls loved him. And I think he was a bit of a Don Juan even then when he was like a little kid.
Just like that movie, Billy Elliot.
Yeah, he was Billy. He was pre-Billy Elliot. Both my parents were very forward-thinking in the sense of gender fluidity in everything. And so the point I was making in high school, when I do all these protests, my banners were on point. Like, I used a lot of sequins. I used a lot of lighting. Like, I used Christmas lights in creative ways. So whenever we would have a protest, everybody would come to me to make all the banners. So in a way, it was an honor. In another way, it was just like I was doing way too many banner making and not enough homework. So...
So Felicia Day, in her foreword to the book, describes an interview in which the reporter kind of leaned forward and semi-whispered, "So would you call yourself a feminist?" And yeah. She said, you know, I was like kind of shocked because why wouldn't I call myself a feminist? But I'm wondering if you've had that kind of experience in relation to your books and your sort of natural and easy connection of feminism and crafting, mm-hmm. if there's some assumption that women who are into crafts and Star Wars shouldn't be into feminism.
Well, if you're a female Star Wars fan, you're a feminist, just as a default. Because unfortunately, a lot of times, guys will try to avoid comp test us, you know, and try to, like, decide whether or not we're worthy enough to call ourselves Star Wars fans if we know enough Star Wars trivia. I worked at Lucasfilm for 10 years. And anytime a guy tried to mansplain Star Wars to me, I would just like shake my head and just let them talk. You know, it's whatever projection or insecurities they've got, let them have their say. But I feel like as a feminist, it's hard because I think people are afraid to say the word because they think it's a bad connotation. They think it's an insult. They think it's, I mean, that's why one of the crafts I made in the Crafting with Feminism book is one of those beauty pageant sashes, and it says Killjoy on it. Because, you know, a lot of times when we're talking with people about feminism or feminism topics, they call us a killjoy. And I was like, well, I'm going to turn that.
Right, because you won't laugh at those rape jokes.
Right. And so I turn the insult around and make a craft out of it, you know, kind of like put it back in their faces. And I do want to stress, this is not an anti-guy book. The guys can be feminists, and hopefully parents are raising their children of both genders to be feminists. To me, feminism means equality. It means equal pay for equal work. It means equal opportunities for men and women. But it also means women supporting women. And unfortunately, with feminism, as we know, being feminist, not all feminists agree with each other on what feminism is and how it should be portrayed and how it should be celebrated. So I knew I was going to have misogynists attacking me online for this book just because feminism is in the title and they don't even look at what the book description is. They just see the title and attack. But the thing I was shocked about the most were feminist gatekeepers. So they were feminists who were like, how dare you do a craft book exploiting feminism? And I was like, I'm not exploiting. Like, how dare you make money off of something as ridiculous as this book? I think one of the reviews on Amazon, that was a 2-star review, was like, why would you suggest using a shot glass for pattern making? Shot glasses have nothing to do with feminism. And all I kept thinking was, did you not watch Jessica Jones at all? Which is a great Marvel superhero on Netflix you can watch, and she spends half her time drinking shots. It's funny, when I was making this book, I'm like, I kind of feel like I'm trapped in a Portlandia skit. And then when I'm promoting this book, I feel like I'm trapped in the most recent season of Portlandia, which the feminist bookstore in real life, the feminist bookstore where they film it, which isn't a bookstore, it's like a lending library community center. Yeah. They don't want to be part of Portlandia anymore. And I think the problem with that was this most recent season of Portlandia was the feminist bookstore in the show doesn't want to be too popular. And the whole episode was about Portland being called the feminist capital of the country. And so this guy was doing tours, and he would drop off all these tourists to the feminist bookstore at the end, and they would buy all this stuff. And the in joke with the feminist bookstore in Portlandia is they never want to be too popular. They're a nonprofit. They don't want to make a profit, which is the joke. And this guy decides, because he gets banned from bringing, you know, tourists into the store, he opens his own feminist Costco, if you will, and everything's pink and everything says, you know, smash the patriarchy. And so they just, I mean, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know what happens, close your ears for 5 seconds, but they take down the store by trying to get other feminists to work at the store and then have a meeting about what the logo should look like. And that they spend days arguing about the logo. And the in joke is that feminists can't agree on anything together because there's too many. They over PC themselves or something. And that was kind of the joke. So I understand why the feminist bookstore in real life wanted to be out of the Portlandia skit. But, you know, if you watch Portlandia and you see that skit over and over again, they have different, you know, storylines. They made uterus pillows. And I made uterus pillow in this book because I wanted to not just celebrate feminism, but celebrate womanhood. And one of that is, we get cramps when we menstruate, and so I wanted to have a giant huggable uterus pillow that you could put a heating pad in the mouth, and then you could hug it when you have cramps. So you can love your uterus instead of like cursing that you have cramps. And the uterus does not look like a real uterus in real life. It's like a cartoon uterus in the craft book.
That was my favorite one. I'm like, every time I
do signings or like I speak to groups about this book, I always like, I'm like, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure this is not what your uterus looks like in real life. You might have googly eyes on yours. I don't know.
You have tampon buddies too.
Yeah.
That.
So that is, there's this show, a British show from the 70s called The Young Ones, which was a great comedy. And I think it's available online. You can find episodes on YouTube. And one of the episodes, it's about four clueless guys in college that are just of all walks of life. There's an episode where they have a party. They're clueless around women. And one of the girls that shows up to the party, the guy, Rick, rummages through her purse and finds a tampon, opens up the wrapper, and then takes the cotton part out and thinks it's a mouse puppet because it's all white and it has a tail, right? And then he plays with the puppet for a while, and then he realizes when he reads the wrapper it's a tampon, and he freaks out and runs out of the room. And I always thought, you know, that's actually a good idea to make like something out of those tampons. And so I was like, well, why not leave little worry dolls? you know, or an actual mouse puppet. So I pitched that to my editor, and she's like, oh my God, I love this. I brought some into the studio, but of course you're not going to, I mean, this is radio, but you can see one of them has like a little braid. I tried to make it look like me when I had long hair. I should really stress this is, you know, unused tampons. This isn't,
I was going to say,
this isn't like a Riot Girl, Huggy Bear kind of statement, where they used to do that in at their concerts. They would throw used tampons. L7 used to do that too, because they were trying to get guys to move to the back and women to move to the front so they women could have their own mosh pits. Because in the punk scene, a mosh pit's deadly for a girl unless you really know how to punch and you don't mind being punched back. And so these Riot Girl bands would always, there's a great documentary called I think it's called Women Come to the Front or Girls Come to the Front.
For those of you who sadly can't see, yeah. So this is, I'm looking at what looks like a OB tampon or something with,
yeah, it is.
With a little orange dress.
Uh-huh.
And two brown yarn braids and tied with little bits of thread and some googly eyes and a mouth. It's super cute.
Well, then you
dropped it on the
that's
floor.
Okay. That's okay. I brought some rejects because I'm a big fan of crafts that are great, but I'm a bigger fan of crafts that don't go right, like crappy crafts. These are some tampon buddies that I gave a workshop at Geek Girl Con, which is a great convention in Seattle. So I did a workshop of tampon buddies, and I brought in tampons, and I showed them how to make the worry doll and the mouse puppet. But other, you know, whenever I do workshops, craft workshops, people just make whatever they want. So
yeah, this is a tampon puppet that has one eye.
One eye. Here's another one that's got green embroidery hair, and then it's wrapped with ribbon, and then there's gems on it, and it's one large googly eye as the head. They kind of look
It's kind of a mermaid.
Yeah.
It's a little bit mermaid.
It's like Pixar characters. And then someone tried to make a mouse, but the face didn't quite work out. It's like a Picasso mouse.
You have some finger puppets
yeah.
that are not tampon.
No,
related.
These are felt and they're very, very easy to make. And it's funny. I made a Ruth Bader Ginsburg finger puppet and it's on the cover of my book. But I also have glasses yeah. like this. And I had my hair cut today because I'm like, I'm tired of doing signings where people are like, I love you on the cover. I'm like, no. That's a Supreme Court Justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's not me. I don't wear long black robes with lace doilies around my neck. But for whatever reason, everyone thinks it's me. But
it does look kind of like you.
It does.
I have to say, I think you used yourself as
I might
model
have. And then this is,
Ruth.
I also yeah. did an old school Gloria Steinem. So this is Gloria Steinem from the 70s where it's like her beige cardigan and her like long brown hair. And I did one of Bell Hooks, who's also a very prominent feminist. I wanted to have it be a diverse craft book. Here's the thing. I wanted to put in as many people as I could. And the book kind of got cut in half because I didn't realize that Sam Maggs, who's a good friend of mine, who did Fangirl's Guide to the Galaxy with Quirk Books, which is my publisher. She also did a book called Wonder Women. Mm-hmm. Which is the history of female trailblazers in science and history. And so all the mini biographies that I had in my book kind of like we were doubling efforts. So my publisher was like, well, you know, Sam's already doing that book, so you don't have to. So they took out a lot of the icons of feminism from this craft book. So it wasn't too repetitive because I had like female Russian cosmonaut finger puppets. I had like every kind of feminist that icon that you would imagine. And sadly, Gloria Steinem was edited out of the craft book. So I don't know what to... I'm sending her this puppet so she will know that she's in there. But Frida Kahlo, I did a Frida Kahlo puppet. There's a Frida Kahlo flower crown in there too because
yeah,
I loved her work.
Those.
You're listening to Women's Magazine here on 94.1 FM, KPFA, and online at kpfa.org. I'm Kate Raphael. My guest is Bonnie Burton, and we're talking about her book, Crafting with Feminism. It's full of fun and subversive projects you can do with friends, with kids, or by yourself.
There's not a lot of pictures of people in this book who are not puppets, but there are sort
True.
Of body parts, hands mostly, and a chest or two. And
that chest is mine.
Most of the pictures look like the women are white. And I wondered if, you know, probably most of them are you.
Yeah. Here's a little inside.
Something you thought about.
Oh, of course I did. But here's a little inside scoop on writing a book. You only have so much money and you only have so much time. I had 5 months to write this book. I shot the entire book with one photographer, and it was my house and her house. We have like no money for a studio, no money for models. Anyone that's not me in the book was someone from the publishing house. Also, I didn't really think about having models in the book at all. It was funny because I just wanted to have stuff. I mean, there's some crafts in there that probably people are going to be like, what does this have to do with feminism? And, you know, some of it's just a celebration of being a woman. And some of it's also kind of a critique of beauty standards. There's a high heels cactus planter.
Yeah, I loved that one.
And the reason I put that in there is because, and I try to find the most painful looking, but beautiful, glitter red high heels that no woman would ever really want to walk in for very long. And I made it into a cactus planter as a reference to that high heels are a pain.
You have tended to write a lot of books for young people, kids, teenagers. And when I saw this book, I assumed that, I mean, it's subtitled 25 Girl Powered Projects to Smash the Patriarchy. So I thought, oh, cool, a, like feminist craft book for kids. But
yeah,
then when I, you know, looked at it, I thought, well, some of it's a little, maybe we should say risque for young kids. What age group are you imagining?
I mean, there's a couple of adult crafts. Like there's, I mean, I don't see a lot of teenage girls having a bra stash, right? To like the secret stash to put their wallet or money in or whatever. And there's a drinking dame's flask because I did want to promote women during Prohibition who proudly drank. And Dorothy Parker is one of my favorite feminists, and she definitely drank. It's not necessarily a kid's book, but I think, you know what? You're a parent. Maybe you should parent and look at the books that your kids are going to look at before they look at them, and you make your own decisions. So if you're a forward-thinking mom and you think, oh, well, my 14-year-old daughter can handle it, great. If you think your 5-year-old kid can handle some of the crafts, just show them a couple of the crafts. If you don't want to show it to them and you want to do your own crafts, that's fine too. I put in body part type stuff, and it's not exploitation of women, it's celebration of who we are, and that includes a vagina. That includes tampons. That includes things that make us women, and we shouldn't shy away from like doing fun stuff with a sense of humor. And I don't say we should make fun of feminism. Obviously, it's a very serious thing that people should take seriously. But at the same time, you know,
it should be fun.
It should be fun, and there should be some levity to it. And also, I want guys to pick up this book and go, that is hilarious, or that is awesome, or I want to make that with my girlfriend or with my sister or with my mom or just the guys. Like, I don't think it should be a, just a girls only book. And I'm not saying that because I want more people to buy the books and my publisher will be happy. But honestly, I just wanted a book that was fun, that celebrated feminism, that got people talking. I think it's important to have people talking about the issues in the book and the crafts in the book and the women that I represent in the book, or maybe the women that didn't get in the book. You know, that's fine. Talk about it. Like, I'm totally cool with that because I want people to have a dialogue, but also have an open dialogue and have it be fun and not being too critical of each other. I think we kind of forget to embrace and celebrate, and we are more critical and judgmental. And I don't think that's really the way to go with feminism. But I wrote this book because it didn't exist. I think there was one other book that came out right after I turned in my manuscript that's called The Feminist Activity Book.
Yeah.
Which is actually really fun, too. I love that book.
It is really fun, yeah.
But there was no, like, feminist craft book. You know, there was nothing that was about crafting, but also feminism and fun. And there's things in there that, you know, might rub people the wrong way. And I get that. I totally understand. Not every craft in there is for everybody. But I'm proud of the book. And I think it's fun. I think one of the favoritest things I have in that book is the Nope necklace.
Yeah, and you're wearing
I'm wearing one. Yeah,
Describe it.
So it's a necklace that just says nope, the word nope. And you can make it out of Scrabble, like Scrabble tiles, or you can make it. The one I'm wearing is made out of cutouts from magazines. It kind of looks like
a ransom note
jewelry,
yeah.
Right? On cardstock. And then it has a chain. Like, I just found a chain. We all have jewelry probably that's like in knots. You can find a chain somewhere or just buy a cheap chain at the, you know, thrift store or something. And I love this because as women, a lot of times when we're walking down the street and we're, you know, we don't always have our resting face isn't like a Stepford wife. Like, we aren't always like smiling big constantly. But I really hate it when strangers go, oh, you'd look pretty if you smiled, or you should smile, or eh. And whether or not it comes from a good place or not, it's still annoying. And so the nope necklace is that, like, you could just point to the nope. There's a pizza, not patriarchy, reusable lunch bag for your pizza. I wanted to have Girl Scout badges for things that Girl Scouts don't have badges for that they probably should. And one of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, like not shaving your legs. I love that.
Not shaving your legs. Right. Or starting a band or like making a zine. I mean, a lot of these things aren't necessarily super duper feminist, but I just like the idea of that and making banners. And the other thing in the book, too, besides the crafts, there's suggestions of books you can read, comics you can check out, movies, music playlists. If you want to throw a craft party with your friends, there's suggestions in there.
I also really liked the list of feminist holidays. There were a number of them that I had not heard about, including National Sisters Day, which I really liked because it's on August 7th, which is smack in the middle of my birthday and my older sister's birthday.
Oh, nice.
And my other sister's birthday is also an August birthday. Another thing that I liked was that there are some things for which you kind of need trips to the, you know, craft store. Mm-hmm. Some things that I had to look up. Fortunately,
oh, tell me. Tell me, what did you have a list?
I was like, what is this Mod Podge?
Oh, Mod Podge is just fancy glue that you use for something called decoupaging. And decoupage, all that is you glue something to a surface and then you cover it with glue. That's decoupage. And it dries clear. So the reason Mod Podge is just a brand. But you can use Elmer's glue on all these crafts. I mean, there's nothing. I don't like using expensive stuff. I think the most expensive thing in this craft book may have been the like sequins. But you could probably buy sequins pretty cheap. You could just go to Goodwill and find something with sequins on it and just take it off. I mean, I go to Goodwill and thrift stores and dismantle clothes for the fabric all the time. And
but
almost everything.
There's also a fair amount of stuff that, like, you can just use whatever you have.
Oh, yeah. Whatever you have, like scraps of fabric, old socks. Yeah, I use old socks for everything. Clean them first.
Well, we are entering the rainy season, so yeah. If you want to smash the patriarchy and are looking for fun ways to do it, you are going to want to go get a copy of Crafting with Feminism to keep around the house for those rainy days. Bonnie Burton, where can people get the book?
Oh, it's available, I think, at most bookstores. They're also available at the library. I am one of those authors that donates books all the time to libraries, my own books, mainly because my mom and my grandmother were both librarians. So I feel like I ruined the tradition. But I think I get a pass for being an author. So I submit my books all the time to libraries. So if you have a public library, you should see if they have it. The trick is, where are they going to shelve it? So if at a bookstore, sometimes books that are like this will either be, because it's a feminist, feminism's in the title. So sometimes they'll stick it in the women's studies section or the women's current events or something, wherever they stick anything with feminism, right? Or it'll be in the crafting section. Or there might be a bookstore owner that's like you and thought, oh, kids book, and just stuck it in the kids section. I'm online. I'm on Twitter. So Bonnie Girl is my Twitter handle. But if you're not on Twitter, you can just Google Bonnie Burton and find wherever you are, whether it's Facebook or Google Plus, or feel free to like ask me about the book or if you have any questions. I'm pretty available online, and I love talking to readers and crafters, and I love to hear people's opinions of what
Send
I'm writing.
Send her pictures of your failed attempts.
Yes,
to,
please.
Follow the directions.
I love seeing, first of all, I love seeing how people customize.
Or your successful ones.
I love it when people customize and personalize the crafts that they make. So they make it for themselves. But I also love craft fails.
Bonnie Burton has been my guest. She's the author of Crafting with Feminism, 25 Girl-Powered Projects to Smash the Patriarchy, as well as the Star Wars Craft Book. And she's co-editor of the book Never Threaten to Eat Your Coworkers, which is a blog anthology. Bonnie, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. This has been really fun.
It's been super fun.